Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Harley Lipman. Harley is a veteran of Middle Eastern politics and an executive committee member of APAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. He has particular specializations on Iran and the UAE, and it's my absolute pleasure to have him on the line right now. Harley Lipman, thank you for talking to us here in Johannesburg on 101.9 Chai FM.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, Harley, if I had to say the following sentence in order to get your reaction to it. Having lived through the past 3 weeks, I would assert that the score is Iran 1, Israel 0. How would you respond to that?
That's a good way to put it. I would probably be a little more concerned and pessimistic and say Iran 3, Israel minus 1.
To that extent, Holly. Okay, so let's unpack that, because that is one hell of a assertion to make. I mean, then you're absolutely saying that Israel lost this one fairly and squarely from a strategic point of view, and certainly
not
from a PR point of view.
Not fairly and squarely at all. By the way, not fairly squarely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, I take that back, corrected. But let's get your opinion on what happened, and specifically the reaction from the Western world to Operation Guardians of the Wall.
Yeah, you know, this is an extraordinary event. It really, on so many levels, I actually think that not since the 73 war has there been a more impactful event on Israel and the Jewish people, maybe even not since the 67 war, which, you know, you're talking about now 60 years ago. So this is really very, and here's why I say that.
Yeah.
One, Israel was not prepared. No one talks about this, but I think this is a significant intelligence failure. Start with that. Israel was completely blindsided. That's my impression. Second, probably most important, is the fact that, you know, one way to look at it, when I said Iran 3 and Israel minus 1, let's look at who are the winners and losers here. Start with that way of comparing it. The winners, Hamas, hugely. Because one, here they started, fire rockets into Israel, and they emerge as the organization of sympathy in the world. Indirectly, while most people will say their sympathy is with the hundreds of Palestinian women and children who died, civilians, because of the Israelis in their efforts to defend themselves, people take an overly simplistic view, see mounting casualties of these innocent Palestinians, and people got filled with rage against Israel. And so let me make it maybe a little simpler. So one, Hamas wins by starting a war. And you know what I would say to the world? If Hamas didn't fire those rockets, all those Palestinian women and children would be alive today. Every one of them. Yet the tragedy for Israel, and the irony is, Hamas is seen as the victim and the one that one should have sympathy with, and not Israel. And yet Israel was attacked in an unprovoked way. Another reason why it's a huge win for Hamas and Iran, and let's say the bad actors in the region, I'll say, is that they effectively knew how to time it well, brilliantly, if I may say. One, there was a real estate dispute next to the Temple Mount. As you know, this is purely a real estate dispute. You had a place that is owned by a Jewish nonprofit. You had squatters who were Palestinians who hadn't paid rent in years. This is going through the courts. This could have happened in Johannesburg, Amsterdam, Buenos Aires, New York City, anywhere. But because it's adjacent to the Temple Mount, Hamas was clever to be able to spin it in a way where they could get the Palestinian masses and a lot of the Arab world up in arms by saying we need a jihad because Israel is interfering with Muslims' ability to pray in the Mosque of Al-Aqsa, which is the third holiest site in the Muslim world. So they were able to whip up this anger among Palestinians in particular by manipulating a lie when it was purely a real estate dispute.
I was just really concerned about the development for the first time in any of Israel's conflagrations, what happened internally, the Arab-Israeli population. That was
right.
A cause of huge concern.
Right. So that's the next one. You're spot on. You were reading my mind, I guess. The next one is Israel. This is why I say they were unprepared. Israel never thought that Israeli Arabs would rise up in such fury and anger that they would stone to death Jews, like a mini pogrom. Now, there were Jews who murdered Arabs in the interest of full disclosure and truthfulness. And at the end of the day, we Jews as a people, the only thing we could rely on are the facts and the truth. Because the truth will set us free. Because we are a good people, and Israel acts with the highest level of morality. And I want to say something about that. So why this is so extraordinary is that, you know, here is, as I said earlier, Hamas fires these rockets into Israel. And if you took away the names of the countries, Israel took away the name of Israel, took away the name of Gaza and Hamas, and you just laid out a picture where a neighboring country fires hundreds and what became 4,500 rockets into another country. I think universally everybody would say the country that's receiving the rockets being fired upon has every right to defend their people. I think anybody would think that. But yet, in this case, the world overwhelmingly condemned Israel. And not only did it condemn Israel, but it brought to the surface anti-Semitism.
Sure.
In a way that we haven't seen in a really long time. I would argue, I don't even think we haven't seen this since the 1940s. It has, because since the Holocaust, there's been a level of guilt and a certain responsibility, certainly in the Western world. So to have, you know, people run around looking for mezuzahs so they could try to break into the house, and they were shouting in London, in New York, and other places, kill the Jews, rape their daughters. I mean, how malicious, how much more hatred. Where do you see that? Even when the Muslims and Hindus are fighting, I mean, I read about it. I don't hear that language. They wanted to make it so personal and convey the hatred to such an extent. And by the way, the Jews in London, New York, and other places have nothing to do with what Israel is doing on top of it. So it really shows that it unleashed something that was there, this level of anti-Semitism. And why this is all, and so what I think it's important to talk about the reality, because as I said, the truth sets us free. One, As we noted, Hamas fired the rockets and started it first. Israel had to respond. And by the way, when Israel responded only to specific strategic targets to stop the violence and stop the rockets. That's what they were doing. And what did the Hamas do? They used people as human shields. So there are two points that are really, really important to make. One is, when you use civilians as human shields, you need to take responsibility for that. And the world needs to recognize the responsibility is Hamas. It's not, you know, if people go break into someone's home and use human shields and they're going to kill everybody, the police are not going to say, oh, well, we've got to let them kill people because they have human hostages. They put Israel in a very difficult position. But what Israel did is something that was an act of morality that I can't think of in any warfare any nation having done. Israel will lose the element of surprise, call up the buildings where they're about to demolish, Only because they have clear intelligence.
Ali, I hear you. We know this, and yet it makes absolutely no difference. You say the truth will set us free. I think we're living in a post-truth age where it doesn't really matter anymore. It's what Gigi Hadid says on her Instagram feed that appears to be way more important than truth. But I'm interested in your expertise as to why do you think that Hezbollah in Lebanon stayed out of the fray?
I think it's a great question. I think for two reasons. I think one is Israel gave a very stern warning that they will pay a bigger price if they get involved in the fray. And by the way, Hezbollah in the last war had 4,000 missiles. Now, conservatively, they have over 150,000 missiles. And as we know, in the last war, they only reached northern Israel. Their rockets were not accurate, and their payload was light compared to the rockets today. Now, their minimum 150,000 rockets could strike anywhere in Israel, a payload 10 to 20 times more than it had in the last war. And an almost unlimited amount of rockets. Thank you, Ayatollah Khomeini from Iran, who calls the shots. So I think one is the warning. The second reason why they didn't do it is because, as you may recall, some type of toxic waste or chemicals blew up in the port of Beirut. People were enraged because they saw it as some storage of weaponry or chemical gas of some sort that Hamas was keeping, probably to use against Israel or something of that effect. And when it blew up and they saw that Israel had nothing to do with it, and they saw that so many people died and so many homes were destroyed, the population got very angry at Hezbollah. They said, don't do this, don't start a war, we don't want all our homes destroyed. So I think that's the second reason.
Holly, we are so way out of time. I've spent 5 minutes more with you than I should have, but I found that absolutely fascinating, as I'm sure everybody did. Thank you for talking to us this afternoon and for shedding some light on those events. Hopefully we'll chat again.
I would look forward to that. Thank you for having me.